Hola, ¿cómo estás? Mi nombre es Nicolás Reclamos Vilela. Te doy la bienvenida a Reclámame Secretos de Customer Experience, un podcast de personas y empresas a la vanguardia de la felicidad de sus clientes. En este programa invitaremos a cracks que lograron escalar sus experiencias de clientes para que nos cuenten sus casos de éxito y cómo se preparan para el futuro. Antes de empezar, si te interesa seguir el podcast, por favor suscríbete y activa las notificaciones para no perder ningún episodio. Este es el momento. Y además, apoyar a este glorioso y humilde programa. Vamos con nuestra estrella del Customer Care del día de hoy. En el episodio de hoy voy a hablar con Ritik Bhatnagar. Ritik es especialista en el mundo fintech. Nació en la India, se formó en Singapur y hoy en día desarrolla su carrera profesional como gran emprendedor en nada más y nada menos que la Ciudad de México. Actualmente se desempeña como CEO de Midas, una empresa mexicana de asesoría 100% digital para invertir en la bolsa de valores de Estados Unidos.
Y no es como Robin Hood, ahora te vamos a explicar por qué.
Además, ha trabajado en empresas como Didi, el gigante chino, y el líder fintech mexicano Konfío, que es uno de los unicornios que tenemos en Latinoamérica. Y como si todo esto fuese poco, es un apasionado del stand-up, yo lo he ido a ver, y sostiene una carrera internacional como comediante. Lo invitamos a conversar sobre Customer Experience en la economía digital de hoy en día. ¿Qué particularidades tiene el Customer Experience en el mundo de las empresas tecnológicas que se dedican a fintech? ¿Y cómo se cuida el CX desde México a Estados Unidos? Welcome, Ritik. How are you doing?
Hey, Nico. Thank you so much for having me. And it's such a pleasure to be on your podcast. And you really flatter me with that introduction. I hope I can live up to the expectations that you've already sky-high for your customers.
Well, as you can hear, this is a different episode because we are talking in Spanish and English. So voy a traducir algunas de las respuestas de Ritik, quizás las más difíciles, y ampliaremos las fronteras con este capítulo. Y su español es perfecto, pero como todo hablante en inglés, es muy humilde.
Well, thank you for that. I have been in Mexico for about 8 years now, but my conjugación, as I say it in Spanish, is still not so good. And, you know, I want to make sure that I'm able to answer the questions as to the best of my ability. So I hope people are okay with it in English.
We love you as you are. So tell me, who do you think you are in the world of customer experience for personal finance?
So, you know, a lot of people ask what we're trying to do at Midas, you know, and the industry or the technical term is always like wealth tech or personal finance, etc. But in reality, we're in the business of trust. And trust is built solely through customer service. Like whatever each screen that we decide to design and show the customer, as well as what happens once they start investing with us, is all about building trust. And that can only really be sort of solved with customer service. So we would say that, you know, yes, technology, yes, what we're offering, yes, the product is important, but it's based on the fundamentals of being able to provide the best possible customer service in order to allow people to build their personal wealth for the long term.
That's amazing. You know, what I totally love about your idea is you are teaching people how to get empowered with money. And about the name, I totally love this kind of mythology stories, you know, about Midas King. For the ones who doesn't know, this was a king who wants to convert in gold everything he touched. So he has this little power, and I believe he convert in gold his daughter, and then he cannot eat because everything he touched was gold. So for me, I totally love the name of your startup because you are teaching people how not convert everything in gold, how to manage this power that money give to us, no?
Yep, absolutely, yeah.
So teach me, why are, I have this question that just came to my mind, why you are not like Robin Hood in the United States? What's the principle, the main difference?
Yeah, so I think that's such a good question because when we tell people that we're doing an investing app, most people immediately assume we're doing a Robin Hood. Now, within the whole personal finance sector,
I would say like there's two main ways that people or customers are sort of segmented. There's like the speculators, which is people who flock to apps like Robinhood because, as you must have seen during the GameStop sort of rally, you know, it wasn't really focused on let me see how I can hold GameStop stock for the next 15, 20 years, but rather like, oh, it's going up super fast, let me cash in and cash out, right? That's one group of people, and they're more than welcome to sort of be part of that speculative group. Now, the other group of people, which I believe is majority of the people here in Mexico or any other emerging economy, is that they have money, but they're either too scared to start investing because they don't even know what a stock is. You know, and to put this in perspective, only 0.4% of Mexicans own a stock, while 60% of Americans own a stock. So they don't know what it is, so they don't even want to begin. So what we realized was that during our initial thesis of starting Midas was that the number of brokerage accounts in Mexico over the past 2+ years has increased by more than 800% year on year, but the assets under management has only increased by like 13%. And the problem here was that people wanted guidance, which they were not getting from a trading app like Robinhood or the equivalent here in Mexico. So what we wanted to do is essentially take the accessibility of an app like Robinhood. You know, it's all digital. You can start from a low amount of money. You invest your money in dollars, but combine it with the personalization of a private bank like Credit Suisse, where we give guidance or help you manage your money with our team of experts. So this way people feel that ease of mind, that peace of mind, in order to be able to invest their money with that confidence and be able to build their wealth for the long term rather than speculate. So this is why we're not the copy of Robinhood, because essentially we add this layer of guidance on top and make sure that the customer is building wealth for the long term. So a closer sort of company in the US that we would be compared to is something like Betterment or Wealthfront.
Okay. So let me see, Ritik, if I completely get the idea. So Robinhood is so easy, and now people in Mexico is opening this broker account, but they don't put more money in because they don't know what to do. They want to invest, they have this extra money. I remember first time we talked, you say the Uber drivers, you know, the little business owners. But the problem is, I want to invest, but I don't know what to do. First, I want to deal with all the bureaucracy about opening an account and get to know about the tax, you know, because everyone say, oh, if you start to invest money, then the tax will come to for us, you know. But if you sold both, make it easy, and also I can learn from your platform, will be amazing. Now I understand all the success that you are having.
I think there's also a misconception in a lot of emerging economies that you need to be rich to invest. You don't. I think that's a very, very wrong myth, because you should be able to start from as little as 100 pesos or 500 pesos, because if you can't invest from that point, and investment is not meant to be that once you're a millionaire, then you put a little bit, but more like you put a little bit every single month, and the next thing you know, that the effect of compounding will take care of your money by itself and grow it for the long term.
Yeah, I totally love, you know, I did a little research for this interview. I heard this specialist from Spain. People were asking, when is the right moment to invest? And he say every day, because you will get the bad day, the good day, the extra good day, but you have to do it like every day. And if you use like 100 pesos, as we say in Mexico, it will be enough, because after 1 year, the compound interest, it is, que es el interés compuesto, es que ese dinero que pusiste hace un año se suma con el que pusiste hace 11 meses, con el que pusiste hace 10 meses, y cuando te quieres dar cuenta, tus hijos pueden ir a la universidad.
Es mismo tema de tu salud, ¿no? Tú no puedes cuidar tu salud como para 3 meses,
yeah,
y tu expectación es por el resto de mi vida. yo soy saludable. Es imposible. Es un proceso cada día.
Totally agree. Better to go 10 minutes every day to the gym than going 1 week and then no more.
Not doing anything for the next year, right?
Yeah, it doesn't work. So my question is, how is here in Mexico? Because we are like at the middle between Latin America and the US and Canada, you know? What is the first like emotional issue about investing? I totally love what you say. People think they need to be rich in order to invest.
No, that's such a good question because, you know, you speak with different sort of client segments, you know, where how we define different client segments is that, you know, you've got sort of like this relatively wealthy clients who do not have access to private banking because private banking has such a high barrier of entry here. And these guys are educated, they have money, but then whatever their banks are offering them is just not cutting it because it's complicated, it's expensive, and they have to stand in line at the sucursal just to be able to invest a tiny bit of money. And then there's all these forms that they have to fill up. So their pressure points are sort of, you know, in line, but also slightly different from, let's say, a Didi driver or service staff. Because for them, the challenge for us is more around removing their skepticism. Because they've been through several economic crises, especially around the banks in Mexico. So a lot of them are very skeptical of financial education or financial savings. So they prefer to stuff their money under their mattress instead, right? And that's the worst way to save your money because your money's losing value every single day due to the present value of money, right? Now, with those type of clients, they're very susceptible to falling to scams because they're also very short-term thinkers where they're like, oh, if somebody can double my money in a year, hey, take all my life savings. When somebody tells you, you know what, you'll actually need 15 years in order to get there, then they immediately are like, well, this versus all the other people who I'm talking with, well, these guys are probably bad at their jobs because they're gonna take so long to get me to financial independence. So kind of changing that mindset is what we're trying to do. And this is where customer service is so important because when we onboard a client, when we speak with them, we want to build that trust. And our customer service team is essentially trained to help them answer questions around these facts. Like, you know, one of the questions that we get asked very commonly is that, how much do I need to invest so that every month I get 10,000 pesos just risk-free? And that because of that mindset that I just want this kind of like passive income and I know I'm going to be paying you money, so I want this insane return risk-free with a very low cost, right? And that's the kind of mindset we're changing, and we're telling them that if you want that, it's best that you don't become a customer because real life compound interest takes very, very long time to actually kind of bring you to that point where the money starts to make more money for you.
Yeah, working for you. So people right now in Mexico are between the mattress that it is losing money or the machine result like Bitcoin. Give me all your money from your family. I will double, triple in 1 month. So there is something in the middle, you know, because you are Midas, I can get the connection with Daedalus, you know. There was Daedalus and Icarus trying to escape from the maze. And Daedalus created these wings made of feathers and wax. You know, but he said to Icarus, however, if you fly too near to the sun, too near to the Bitcoin, trying to double your money, or if you fly too near to the water, trying to keep your money, you will die. So success is in the middle, no? Or in the Midas. Really, really bad joke. We are gonna take that out. So, but I totally love it because it sounds healthy. Something you repeat, you know, with your example from the gym. Have to be healthy and have to be your side business, your side way to doing money. Because we are talking about people who are successful professionals. We are talking about people who are successful little business owners. So I totally love what you say about the history in Mexico. For some reason, we don't know why, banks fail to the people. People end trusting banks, you know, in order to keep the savings. But now you are here trying to fix this maze or this mess. So how was to start this startup? How was the first steps, the second ones, and where you are right now?
So me and my co-founder, you know, we were both finance guys, and I think him being a Mexican, he grew up being in the finance world, and people constantly ask him like, "What should I do with my money? Where should I put it? I have all this, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to get started. Is this app good?" You know, that sort of questions would constantly be prevalent. And for me, on the other hand, is that I come from Singapore, which is, I would say, a few years ahead of Mexico in terms of financial innovation and education. And I was able to sort of put that, compare and contrast, you know, where in Singapore, everybody has a bank account, everybody invests, everybody has a certain level of financial education. And the kind of compound interest of that education has resulted in people having way better savings versus in Mexico, where we're still kind of starting. And every time some sort of big thing happens, people kind of regress to their old ways. Like, for example, initially the whole crypto world was exploding, everybody was making money, and then suddenly it dropped, and it had this compounding effect of like people regressing even more, like, "Oh, I can't trust anything." So because of that, we were inspired to sort of start Midas, where we felt that there was this massive piece missing of allowing people to invest with guidance and having a team of experts manage your money. So we quit our jobs in October 2021 to do this full time. And in around July 2022 is when we released our first beta. And so far, you know, we've grown since then. We have a team of 10. We've raised about $1.5 million. And essentially, we're executing a lot of features while starting to enter into this growth phase of the company, where we start sort of putting our app and our branding out there so that people start seeing that we've built this product for the people, not just something that's there to be like, you know, here's a platform of 5,000 stocks and what other stuff you want to buy, and you're on your own. But we're here to sort of hold your hand through this process of investing, and this, which is why customer service for us is so important.
That's totally amazing. You know, it is so easy to see how you care about people and how you care about teaching people. I remember you told me about your past work in Singapore, where you were like dealing with algorithms, Wall Street. You know, and it is amazing someone who has that kind of knowledge can bring, you know, to the CX and to Mexican people, you know, because that's the soul of Midas, you know, the willing to share, the willing to teach, and the willing to look for success, because you are in a game where you need to success, you know. And also, as we fight with these new technologies about AI at ZTZ, you know, and right now everybody is talking about what AI can do. You have the same problem with the Bitcoin. Of course, people is going to compare, but you are like a healthy version of investing in Bitcoin. And also, I believe that everyone who run a business or who practice a profession every day want to keep doing, but also want to do something else with their money, you know. So now, you know, the podcast is called Reclámame Secretos de Customer Experience. So we have this little part where we go to therapy. I want to ask you, how do you feel when people complain about things with you as CEO? Because it is hard to be a CEO.
Initially, it's a bit frustrating because a lot of the complaints are very low-hanging fruit. You know, things that we know that we had fixed before. We knew that were problems or something that we've solved for when we're doing our own internal quality assurance. But then there's always what happens on paper and then what happens in reality. And, you know, you always get embarrassed as well, that you know, you speak with this potential client and they're so excited and they're like, yeah, I want to onboard right now, and then they open the app and it doesn't work, right? So and then you're just staring in their face and you're just like, oh, okay, well, give me a second, let me speak with. So you're like, you've built all this kind of hype, and then after that it just so it is a bit frustrating. But I think at the end of the day, at our stage, we're still learning a lot. And even if we were a $1 billion company, we'd still be learning a lot. So for me, this is like just another lesson to just absorb and kind of bring it to practice in terms of feedback as a team. Because I don't think it's like healthy internally even. And you know, even internally, you have your customer service, because our employees are our best customers. So if they have an issue, you know, then we're still the ones solving that. So we try and kind of make it as a point that this is a learning lesson for the team, not just of the tech team or the customer service team.
I totally love it, because I believe after like more than 25 episodes, this is the first time that something say this is a learning opportunity. Others say something similar, but I totally love it how you say learning opportunity. Like, now is the time where we are learning about this. And then on the other side of the desk, how are you when you have to complain? When you go to a restaurant, because you came from two countries, India and Singapore. India is a little like, I don't want to say like crazy, but you guys live in this great area where you do this, no?
Yeah.
And then you have Singapore, really a square country that really works.
Yeah, it's exactly.
How from little to amazing, one of the first economy of the world. So where is Wittig between the mattress and the magic results?
Very good question. I mean, usually, like, I'm empathetic because I know that certain things that have kind of gone wrong are not exactly the fault of the person I'm speaking with. You know, there's so many different things that possibly could have gone wrong to kind of make that happen. But one thing I genuinely dislike is just somebody just saying that, no, I can't do it. And especially being in the banking and fintech industry for so long, and me knowing that the person can help and can fix it. And then the first thing, before they even, I finished my question, they're like, or can you help me with that? They're just like, no, go somewhere else, or call this number, when I'm already there in front of the individual, right? That for me is like very, very frustrating. And that's sort of like that thing that perhaps I wouldn't experience in Singapore, where they'll be more like, oh no, don't worry, we're here and whatnot. But sometimes here it can be a bit like, go to that person, then that person will say, go to the other person, then the other person will say, go to this person. So that can be a bit frustrating here. But usually I approach it with empathy, because I know it's usually not the fault of the immediate person attending me.
Yeah, and also, you know what they say here in Mexico, it depends who are you talking to and which attitude did you decide to use it. Because here with honey, you can get a lot of bees, but if you complain really hard, you can get a lot of bits, but the other ones, you know? So that was so cool. I have this innovation question for you. How do you relate comedy with what you do? Because you are always happy. I totally love people who knows how to have a smile every day, because I know they are not happy every single hour of the day, but they use that, you know, I use it as a managing tool. So how is for you, because you are a comedian?
Well, you flatter me. Thank you so much. I think the two main things, you know, where I sort of use or kind of take the intangibles of what I learned at comedy is that, you know, you get used to rejection. When you're on stage, comedy is probably the only career, at least for myself, where the feedback of what your job is given to you immediately. You either get a laugh or you don't, right? You don't have to wait 3 months and then somebody's like, oh, okay, so you did this, that. For you, the feedback is right there in front of you. So if you're not doing a good job, and then you still want to continue doing this job, you develop a thick skin where you're like, it doesn't matter, I'm going to put this out of my head. I'm not going to be like, oh man, this was terrible, blah, blah. You just get back out there again. That's one.
The other thing is to be able to how to read people. Like before I get on stage, I spend quite a bit of time studying the audience to being like, what did they like? How should I structure my jokes so that we're able to kind of have that chemistry built with myself and the audience? So that, for example, if I'm speaking with an potential investor or with my team or even with the clients that we have, to build that rapport, you know, with a stranger, that is something that comedy has taught me a lot in that sense. So these two main things, which I think are so important, because if I'm selling something, I need to be really thick-skinned, because majority of the time I'm going to get a no, especially with fundraising, especially in this market. And to be able to build a rapport, because a lot of times people do look at the tangibles. Okay, what are your metrics and whatnot? But eventually the number or the decision really comes down to, did I like him or just I hated this guy, right?
I want to spend the next 2 years talking with this guy, managing troubles with this guy, or it's not my kind of people. You know?
Correct. Yeah. So these two main things, yeah, I feel like comedy helps me a lot with that. Yeah.
So one last question about your business. How do you think that is going to happen in the next 10 years? Because you are changing everything. Now people go to a bank and do not understand anything they are signing in for. You are explaining how it works, you know, and setting like the right level of expectation, you know, or returns that are more important. So how do you feel the next 5 years, the next 3 years? You can pick anyone you want.
Yeah, no, that's such an interesting question, because like yourself, you know, I'm a big student of history. And what I've seen, you know, when I came to Mexico, which was in 2015, the word fintech was just starting to kind of have some signal. You know, before that, people were like, what is that? I don't even want to think about it. So now fintech is part of people's daily vocabulary. So the same kind of trend is where I see happening with wealth tech. I think fintech itself, with like all these payment providers, the digital banks, have made people comfortable with having their money on their phones. But the next evolution is, how do they use that money on their phones? So on expenses, savings, investing, sending and receiving. That's where I see that next evolution happening, and it's already on its way. What I expect in the next 5 years is that a lot of companies in my space, especially in the wealth tech area, right, will probably go from having that traditional B2C model to a lot more B2B focus, because companies themselves will also realize that there is a massive benefit in retaining their employees when they offer investing or a retirement plan or a pension fund that's 100% digital versus the older players. And as well as embedding wealth management as part of the overall sort of fintech services, like a Konfio or a Wala essentially could go and be like, not just the bank account or whatnot that we're offering, you just need to click the invest button. And since you've already done the onboarding, you just answer a few questions about your risk and boom, we'll be able to invest your money in the US directly with this kind of implications and benefits. So that's where I see that shift happening. B2C will always be there, but it is expensive and the churn is high. So the trend will eventually move towards simplifying this as an offering to a company. At least that's the hypothesis that we have within Midas.
Yeah, what crossed to my mind was how money is flowing faster right now, because I can move my money with just one click. And it is happening the same with the health insurance. Here we have in Mexico, we have Sofia, you know, amazing health insurance for your employees. So now everything and everyone, it is all digital. So it's going to be fast. We need to get ready. So Ritik, after this torture, what is your magic word for people who listen the whole episode? If you have to summarize everything in one word or two words, you know, you can use any slang. I'm going to give you a lead, maybe if you want. I totally love what you say about being comfortable. And it is part of CX, no? Having this comfortable feeling about I'm doing this, it is like I want you to feel comfortable in this interview. I hope so, you know?
Exactly, it's that fuzzy feeling. You know when somebody genuinely helps you out and you just feel like that relief or that sort of feeling that, that somebody's helping me, genuinely. That's what I want our level of customer service to be. But I guess the word would be more around consistency, right? Because what I feel is, you know, just like majority of the things that you do day to day, you know, you wake up, you exercise, you take a shower, it's just routine. That's what investing should be. It should not be something that you spend a lot of time on. Of course, if you have that ability to do so, you should. But as a normal person, you know, you don't cut your own hair because you rely on the expertise of somebody to do a good job and that's why you pay them money. That's the kind of thing we want to have. Investing should be as easy as ordering an Uber. You know, just that consistency and that availability. That's kind of what I want to leave people with when it comes to their perspective or their positioning about what they should be doing in terms of saving or investing their money.
Yeah, also, I can add something about consistency. I really like new things. I realize that I can go Monday to the gym, then Tuesday to do CrossFit, and then Wednesday to do a bicycle, but I'm doing consistency because I'm doing all days any kind of sports. It happened the same about investing your money. You can give like 1,000 to your uncle for his little business, put 10,000 to Midas, you know? So you don't have to be like a square, but you need to do it because as you say, you need to keep yourself healthy and your finance healthy. So
yeah,
I want to ask any kind of recommendation, any kind of book, podcast, movie, courses. For me, you have to do this Domestika online course because you have this charm for teaching. So maybe you need to do any kind of online course for people who want to get introduced to Midas because you are an excellent professor.
Well, thank you so much. So in terms of like, you know, books, there's two that have had a lot of profound impact on me. One is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor E. Frankl. It's a great book about how do you channel your emotions to get the best out of yourself. And the other one, I'm a big fan of Scott Galloway, and he wrote this book about post-corona, from crisis to opportunity. And, you know, explaining that a crisis essentially is an accelerator for businesses and even relationships, right? So essentially his thoughts on how certain industries will change because of the COVID crisis, which has helped me a lot as well because we started this company right around that time, and how we took that opportunity of the fact that everything was getting digital because you couldn't go to a bank branch, you couldn't talk to your financial advisor at a coffee shop, so you had to go digital. So that those are the two main books. In terms of financial education, I'm a very big fan of this Instagram account called Bullground, which we're also doing a partnership with, but they're able to break down very complex movements in different stock prices or finance or economy and talk to you as if you're just having a couple of beers after work with your friend. So I love that. And then a YouTube channel that I love is Patrick Boyle, who also does a bit more sort of complex finance stuff about, you know, what's going on in the UK economy, what's happening in the Mexican economy, but breaks it down again with a very sort of deadpan comedy delivery, which I love. Like, he doesn't exactly go like, ah, like this, but he just says it with a very serious face. But it's really funny and it's finance related. So yeah, these are the main sort of things that I normally read or watch during my spare time.
It is so good because I always say to entrepreneurs, if you surrender to reality and accept the crisis, you can take the real opportunities that present themselves today, you know? Not the ones you want, you know, the ones, the doors that are open today. you know, not the doors that you want to be open and you are...
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. So, and also it is good to hear how you are learning about how to take the opportunities, how to manage the crisis, and also listen every day what is happening in UK, in the US, because we are part of this market, we are part of this society, and we cannot decide what is going to happen tomorrow. Anything else that you want to add before we end this interview? That was my first interview in English in my whole life.
Yeah, actually, let me ask you, how do you think it went?
I'm going to answer two questions. The first one, how we evaluate an investor. It is how do we feel before the meeting, during the meeting, and after the meeting. If we don't get three green lights, we say it's not for us. It's not about the money. Second, how do I evaluate an interview? How comfortable I am, how comfortable I think you are, and how much I can learn from you.
Excellent.
Because that's the add value of the podcast. You know, we are teaching people new things about customer experience. They know a lot because the people who listen to this podcast are the best managers in the world who are running CX in the best companies in Latin America. But I felt really comfortable with you. I really appreciate that. You know, and also I learned a lot of things, but not about only finance. I learned about how to be an expert in finance, but also how to be able to explain really complex concepts in easy words. So I really thank you for that.
No, that the pleasure is all mine. I'm really honored to be part of this podcast and having this conversation. I always end up learning so much from you as well. And, you know, it's always, whenever we meet, like, I feel like my IQ has gained by at least 10 points. So thank you for having me on the podcast.
You're welcome, man. If someone wants to reach you, how they can reach you?
So you can find me on LinkedIn, which is just my full name, Ritik Bhatnagar. And you'll be able to sort of see with the Midas tag. And if anybody's in Mexico and interested in sort of being part of the Midas journey, you know, you can go to our website, midasfi.app, and register on part of our wait list. And we'll definitely be in touch to kind of get you onboarded as soon as possible.
That's totally amazing. I know like a lot of investors right now are getting the approach to you because this guy is literally not on fire, on gold, you know, like me, that's like touching everything and converting it in gold. So thank you very much, Ritik.
Pleasure is all mine, brother.
So this is the end of a new episode. Thank you very much for listening. Before we say goodbye, if you have any comment or if you want to contact us with question of suggestion for the show, you can do it at info@citizet.ai. We don't accept any kind of complaints.
No, I'm just joking.
Entonces, yo soy Nicolás Vilela y agradezco a Delphi Seaonen, Salva Luca y Orne Pugliese en el equipo de producción y a Fede Ferreira en la excelente edición.
A ver cómo nos va con el inglés. Espero mejor que a mí.
No olvides suscribirte al programa y activa las notificaciones para no perderte ningún episodio. Nos escuchamos de nuevo en Reclámame Secretos de Customer Experience. Fin.